The subject is food this week. In Luzerne County, Tracy Salengo, founder of the nonprofit Fork Over Love, and board chair Tim Lambert discuss a novel way to nourish a community.
Fork Over Love started in January of 2021 as an emergency response to the pandemic to bridge the gap between two groups of people who desperately needed one another: independent restaurants and the food insecure and folks who were struggling as a result of the pandemic. We purchase chef-made takeout meals from independent restaurants at market price, and we turn around and we offer that food to people who are struggling to put food on the table for any reason whatsoever, no questions asked. That's how we started in 2021, and that's something that we hold true to today. So this was a completely new, socially innovative way to bridge the gap at a time when it was desperately needed.
This was a great effort on a lot of restaurants who were also hurting. But how did you manage to encourage them and then put all the pieces together?
Honestly, we did it event by event. It looks like a very big production now, but it started with one event. It started by gathering a board of women who very quickly said, yes, I will help you figure out this problem. We came together, we rolled up our sleeves and reached out to a few restaurants to, I'm air quoting pilot, because I feel like we're still in pilot mode all the time, but reached out to a few restaurants, said, would you be interested in this? Of course, they were immediately on board, and we began. And that was, our first event was held on February 3rd, 2021. We were in the parking lot of Corpus Christi Parish in West Pittston. There was a nor'easter the day before we started. So they had the parking lot cleared for us, and we were able to get the word out that we were going to have this. We didn't know what to anticipate. We didn't know how many people would show up. We knew we had the restaurants. They knew they were getting paid, and we knew that we could make it through that night. So many people showed up just to help, which was incredible. I could like tear up because they're still helping to this day, those folks who walked on that parking lot on that very first night. And we had the women over at Corpus Christi Parish, who I will never be able to say enough about. They organized us. I feel like on that first night, we were all just a little deer in the headlights. And they were like, this is how this is going to go. They organized that takeout line and really showed us how to do it. We are like hundreds of events past that. We have distributed 96,000 meals as of the moment that I'm in your chair. We've reinvested $942,000 back into the restaurant community. We've helped over 100 restaurants. We've got more than 350 volunteers who've shown up. We have a nice handful of volunteers who are consistent in their help today. And we partner with a number of nonprofit agencies to deliver food to them on a consistent weekly or monthly basis now, in addition to continuing the car lines.
So aside from your original idea, you are now working with numerous nonprofits, and they're also helping you distribute food to those who need it.
Yes, we partner with early education and child care centers, family and health service centers. We partner with college food pantries and the public school system so that we can use their parking lots to reach low-income neighborhoods.
Again, I'm trying to wrap my head around the enormity of this idea. One person who had a thought and has fed thousands of people in these last few years. That's a lot of cooperation, first of all, but a lot of components went into making this run so smoothly. Tim, could you tell us about some of those components?
So I can actually speak on behalf of the board, and actually as a donor and a sponsor. Back in May of 21, Tracy came to the McCarthy family and asked if we wanted to partake in this idea. And we absolutely said yes, because one, it helped during that crazy time when the uncertainty was high and helped our neighborhood restaurants at that moment in time. And when we did that first distribution with McCarthy Tire, our eyes just opened up of how many people came out. And on Kidder Street, we actually had to block off the road because there were so many people lined up. And we had security out there and making sure everyone flowed through quickly. And I actually looked at Tracy and I said, we should probably move this to a bigger spot next year. But this was such a great turnout. And we've stuck with it ever since. And the second time is when it was really eye-opening for me personally, when we were in Wilkes-Barre High School and a mother and two children came through. And the two kids were sitting in the back seat asking, are we able to eat tonight? And right then and there, I wanted to give like all the meals to these children. The very next day, or maybe it was a week after, they called me and asked if I wanted to be a part of the board. And then before they even finished the sentence, I think I said yes automatically. And not a day goes by that I text Tracy on, what else can we do to help? What else can we do? Where is the help needed? Because food insecurity is always going to be a forefront in the United States and even in NEPA, that they just want a hot, healthy meal to eat. And they may not be able to get that hot, healthy meal, or they may not have the means to have that hot, healthy meal or to feed their kids for that night. And it's a battle we battle every single day. And it's us trying to figure out where those pockets are that we're missing or that people are missing. And every single day we have a new idea, a new person that we may be helping. But you're right. And it's crazy how I look at it this way on other things I'm involved with, that the volunteers are really like the lifeline of who Fork Over Love is. I mean, they really make this thing run. They show up in droves and they drop everything just to help Fork Over Love because they know the mission of Fork Over Love. And they know this mission is such a key aspect, especially in today's society when just giving someone a meal, it's feeding people and it's feeding those in need and doing such good work. And I always say to Tracy, I said, what was in your mind back in 2021 and how it went from your head to paper and now what it is today, almost 100,000 meals and almost $1 million reinvested is such a crazy and astronomical number that 5 years ago, I bet you wouldn't even realize that was even going to happen. And it's just, the number is just astonishing. And I could see it in your eyes. You're probably like, you didn't realize that number was so big. And it's only been 5 years and we're only going to give more food. And we're only going to help more people. And that's the drive of our goal, is to keep helping others.
Tracy, some of the best ideas come when people get really invested in a cause. And they, as one person, say, if I had the wherewithal, I'd do this, this, and this. So how did you do this, this, and this? It's amazing to me. It's astounding how many people are still being fed since COVID.
It was from just opening the newspaper, old school. I remember looking at an article, I think it was in the Times Leader, and there was a restaurant that was closing and they were reporting on that. And right next to that was an image of a food pantry and the lines being astronomically long. And I was like, this seems crazy. These people need to cook. These people need to eat. Like, I don't understand why we can't find a way literally to just bridge the gap. And I would love to tell you that I immediately figured that out, but I didn't. The idea itself terrified me. My knowledge of restaurants was enjoying to go to them, right? So I was like, I don't have any business in this realm. So I just started talking to people about it. And I did that for 9 months. And as time went on, you know, it would ebb and flow, but the idea never left me that something needed to be done. And at times that became more intense and more obvious than others. And so I just continued to have conversations to see where I could go, right? Asking people, don't you see this as a problem? Don't you think something should be done about this? Some people really talked about it for a long time. Others were like, yeah, you know, it's a good point. Long story short, it took roughly 9 months for me to just come to terms with the fact that I could do this, that I could gather the people necessary, that I could reach out and make connections. And it really was organic at that point when I finally decided to do it. You know, I invited one person to the board and said, who do you think would be a good idea to be a part of this? And that's how it went until we had seven women rolling up their sleeves. And so the first 6 months of operation, I don't think any of us really knew anything beyond where we were going the next week to serve dinner. You know, we had all like very loosely agreed that we would just see how far we could get. We could see how long we would help doing this. And that's what we did. And it was organic. I mean, people just joined. Restaurants signed on. It's not difficult what we do. You know, it's a very simple solution. We all go to restaurants to eat. And the people who own restaurants, especially these family businesses that are often many generations running the same corner restaurant. They're so embedded in the community. They love food. That just runs through their blood, right? Like there was no question. And I would say that about the partners that are with us today. We have 31 certified restaurant partners. I could pick up the phone right now and tell them, any one of them, we need this many meals delivered, and they would make that happen. They are just such good people, you know, and they love what they do, and they do it well. So why do we need to reinvent a different solution? That was my thought.
The passion for this organization is contagious. And so, Tim, I wanted to direct this question to you. What does it feel like, or what goes through your mind when you are handing over a meal to someone you don't even know?
I'm glad you asked that, because the first time I witnessed that was just gut-wrenching, to think that we're all sitting here and talking today, that it's easy for us to go home and make a meal, but then there's others out there that just don't have that opportunity. And to realize that, and I hope that, you know, my daughter's 6 months, and I hope that one day that she can understand and give back to the community, like how, you know, I love this organization and to what Tracy founded and started. It really is eye-opening, and what we need to do as people giving back to people. And that's what makes our world great, is people giving back to people, finding time to do that. We all have time in our lives. All of us have things going on, but just to find a couple minutes here and there just to help that one person, because that one person may be struggling from something that we may not see on the outside, but on the inside they are. And giving that meal over to that mother or father or child or grandmother or whoever it may be, that's just good deed that you did for that day. Hopefully it passes along to somebody else, that they will do another good deed to somebody else.
Tracy, if anyone in our listening area is interested in how did you get started, would you be willing to share it with them?
Absolutely. I say it all the time. It's not rocket science at all. And I think the core and the base of what makes it work is having a group of members of the community who want to make their community better. That's it.
What have you learned in the years that Fork Over Love has been successful? How does that make you feel, knowing that you were part of this process?
I'm honestly not sure that I can find the words for it. Sorry.
She's tearing up because she loves this so much. And what I would love to add to that, to the listeners out there, is that we all have these ideas to help others, to find a group of people and not be afraid to try. Because if we don't try and we hold those ideas back, we don't know what the impact is going to be in the next 5 years, 2 years, 1 year, whatever it may be. Even if it just was that couple of distributions that you helped these individuals, they got a meal in a crazy time that we all know what was going on back in 2020, 2021, the uncertainty. And even if it was only one or two of those meals, people got hot meals that day.
For all of this, what is the takeaway for you, Tracy?
The takeaway for me is that you cannot underestimate the power of a hot meal served with love. Period. You know it, right? Like, I see your eyes lighting up. I think we all know this at a very basic human level, because I think that for anyone on the giving or the receiving end, they have found themselves in a situation at some point in time where they provided a meal to someone who needed it because maybe they didn't even know what else to say, or they accepted a meal that was delivered to them because it was a gesture of love. That's what this is. That's what's happening in our car lines. That's what's happening when we partner with other organizations. It's one very delicious, dignified meal that is served often by a volunteer with love. Like, I think our team gets that deep in their heart.
What do the people say to you? What kind of thoughts do they share with you?
They share so much. When we were solely in the car line, going from neighborhood to neighborhood every week, we really got to know the people who were showing up and receiving food. And you hear all kinds of stories, but they were so happy to receive the food. I would have to say every event that I've attended has been pure joy.
One experience I had, and I didn't know what to do because I wasn't sure. I think it was the second time we did it. A lovely lady, I actually never had a pie for Thanksgiving the one time. Never had a pie for the family, and she got a pie during Thanksgiving. She got out of the car and gave me a hug. Just a simple gesture like that. Didn't have to say thank you. I didn't expect it. And if you think about it, we have people waiting in these lines and they're patient. And they just know that we're giving love to them and they give a little love back to us.
We know and we remember that we're better when we're together in a community taking care of one another. We're always going to need connection. We're always going to need belonging. And if we put our attention on that and we allow that to grow and we embrace that, that's where the nourishment takes place.
It's a great story and a testament to how one idea can come to pass and help feed thousands of people in the community. Special thanks to Tracy Salengo, founder of Fork Over Love in Luzerne County, and to Tim Lambert, chairman of the board of the organization for 2025. For WVIA's Community Connection, I'm Lisa Mazzarella. Mm-hmm.